Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. Today, I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us. We've got a great show for you. We're going to get some crop progress updates from around the country. And I shouldn't just say the country. I should say from around the United States and hopefully Canada as well. If you've got a crop progress report you'd like to give us, just let us know how you're coming with planting, what stage your crop's at, that kind of thing. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You could also email us, radio@agphd.com, or send us a note on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. Well, I'll just let you know where we're at on our own farm. The forecast last week for this week said we were supposed to be in the 80s all week. Well, I think we've topped out at about 60, 63 degrees, something like that. It's been terrible. Really cold. Well, I shouldn't say that cold compared to normal. Our normal high right now at this time of year where we farm in southeast South Dakota is 71 degrees, and the normal low is 47. So we really haven't been lower than that normal low, but we have been lower than the normal high. And so our crop just is basically sitting there. Our biggest corn is V2 right now. It takes about 82 growing degree units for each leaf stage. So for us to go from V2 to V3, we got to have 82 growing degree units. We're not even going to come close to that this week. And when I had projected things last week, I said, ooh, by the end of the week, we might be at V3 and we want to start spraying a little bit of corn. Yeah, we're not hitting V3 this week. So it looks like it's going to be next week until we start spraying our corn.
Well, we just can't buy some sunshine either. That's been the crazy thing because things look a little yellow out there, and all we need is a few days of sunshine, and that would be great because that sun has got a lot of power right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say, you know, when you start looking at soybeans, they're out of the ground. I feel pretty good that the ground did stay relatively moist and soft, and we didn't have emergence issues or anything like that. But I'm looking for heat and sun, so it would help our corn. It would help our beans. Everything would look a little greener, a little nicer. But overall, I'm just happy that stuff went in the ground real early this year. We've got a little bit of corn, and I think maybe 30 acres of corn left to put in, and not much on soybeans. We've got one new field, so we might have a couple hundred acres of soybeans, but it's no big deal. I mean, we could finish planting in one day, but instead we've been doing dirt work, tiling, spreading fertilizer, and I mean, just a lot of cleanup work. So it's been good to get that done.
You know, there are a lot of things going on out there. That's why we're doing a crop progress update. And start off down in Arkansas today with Jeff. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing pretty well up here. We need a little more heat. What do you need more of down in Arkansas?
Less rain, little heat. I mean, we're staying in the 70s, which is very uncommon for me. And a little less rain. Working 2 days and all 5 days is getting old.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like our 2019, if we even got to work 2 days. But, yeah, it's tough when we just need a little bit of sunshine out there. So what have you got on your farm? I hear you got a weed challenge for us in rice.
Yes, I do. I wanted to get an opinion. I got yellow nut sage. I've only got one pocket of it, and it's about a two-acre pocket in the middle of the rice field on a high point on a leveled field, and been fighting it. Really want to hold off on using Permit Plus, but was looking at other options. What would y'all suggest?
Yeah, you said Permit Plus is what, you know, would work, but why don't you want to use that? Is it a rotational thing for you?
It is, and I really want to hold that back. This is conventional rice, okay. So really want to hold that in the as a bullet in the later on if I need it and because of the amount of the, you can only put 1.5 ounces on, and you know, the minimum shot is a 3/4 ounce, and really 3/4 ounce barely yellows it anymore, so you really got to hit it hard and with a good ounce and a quarter, and I really want to kind of hold that back in case I need it later in the year after flood.
Okay, so after the flood, that really doesn't take out nuts edge, does it at all?
No, it feeds it. Yeah. It'll take out Johnson grass and take out most of the other grasses. Grows very well in it.
Yep. Yep. How about Bassegran? Do you ever use that in rice? That's one that I know we've used over the years in soybeans for yellow nutsedge control.
I haven't used it in years. I've really completely forgot about it, to be honest.
Yeah, that would probably be my choice. If we did a quart of Bassegran with a quart of crop oil with it, we were getting fairly decent activity. I mean, we're not going to get the nutlets below the ground, but we were able to burn it back really well, at least to let the crop get ahead. And like you say, if you save your best option for if you need it after flood, that might be something to try.
Yeah, I think if we can get it burned back and get it under the water at flood, that it would keep it suppressed. But and then we always have the other one coming back. Okay, that's a good idea. I appreciate it. That made me remember something from years ago.
Oh, I know it. I know it. It's well, and I look at it this way too, Brandon. I often talk about this, that if you weren't farming and dealing with crop protection products back in the 1990s, you kind of got used to, well, it's Roundup for almost every weed problem. And yeah, we're going back to a lot of those old chemistries to try to solve some of these other issues.
Yeah, I was just going to throw this in, Jeff. Usually when we have yellow nutsedge issues, we talk to people about improved drainage. Well, you're doing rice, so that's a little bit different. We also talk about Dual as a pre-emerge herbicide. Believe it or not, that has activity. And then it's Bassegran and Permit and a lot of prayer, because there's nothing that's perfect on this particular weed.
All right,
yeah, it's becoming cell resistant, so I appreciate
yep.
it.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Jeff, and hopefully you catch some sunshine here in the very near future. Getting a crop progress update from around the country. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. Today, we're getting a crop progress update. We would love to hear from you and hear what's happening on your farm. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us an email, radio@agphd.com. Let's head down to Iowa. We've got Doug with us right now. Doug, how are you today?
Hey, pretty good.
All right. So did you get a pretty good shot of rain here out of that last storm that went through?
Yeah, that last one, we got an inch and a quarter. That was just real nice.
Excellent. Excellent. So you were in an area that was needing it a little bit?
Well, it's real spotty. Like where I live was needing it, but a couple miles south, they had plenty. So it's like, well, yeah, we could use some here. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know we had a rain come through and a couple of our fields that are a little bit north of our farm got it. And just, yeah, there's just a line. And the next field over got nothing. And I couldn't believe it because I thought, oh, man, this is great. And I looked on one of the programs. I was looking at climate. And it's like, oh, yeah, we got rain over there. That's going to be good. But it only hit a couple fields. So you never know. Yeah. Never know what's going to happen. How about alfalfa? Right. What's alfalfa looking like in your area? I've kind of been wondering. We've heard some alfalfa weevil larvae calls and also some guys just talking about slow growth.
Well, I haven't noticed insects so much, but, you know, there a couple weeks ago we had that cold snap that got down like 32 or 30, and it actually set that alfalfa back, and the grass, I noticed the leaves were a little tinged on it too, so it set the growth back a little bit, so yeah.
Did you have corn and soybeans up yet by that point?
There was some corn peeking through, and I also couldn't see any damage on any that, you know, roadside view, of course, but and now there's a lot of corn coming up, and it, you know, it's been cloudy and drizzly for days, and so we just need sunshine and 70 degrees.
We've got really short corn here. It seems to just kind of be hanging out there waiting for the sun, but the weeds are starting to come a little bit in some spots. Are you seeing much for weed pressure yet?
Not very much. You know, there's a few fields that got planted. They were kind of green, but a lot of people got their herbicides on and or doing some tillage, and they look pretty good right now, but I'm sure that's all going to change when it gets warm.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's going to come pretty fast. Well, glad you caught some rain out of that last shot. I know we've got some more forecast to be coming through our part of the country here, just a little bit west of you, so maybe it'll head your direction too.
Yeah, it looks like this weekend's wet about every day for clear through Monday. So, yeah, it looks that way.
You bet. Well, Doug, thank you so much. Really appreciate talking to you today. Good luck here the rest of the spring.
Well, thank you, and enjoy the show.
You bet. Thanks. Let's head over to Nebraska. We got Brian with us right now. All right, Brian, are you the one that's sending the rain to the east?
I must be, because we're sure not getting it.
I was going to say, are you going to try and hold it there in Nebraska?
We're right on the line. You get west of us a few, maybe 60, 80 miles, and it's pretty wet, but right where we're at, we're just dry.
Okay, so talk to us a little bit about strip tillage and different tillage practices. Did that make a big difference this spring when we were dry?
I kind of noticed a little bit on my strips. I kind of did some earlier, and they were kind of getting dry. But I still had good moisture down low, so I was able to get all my seeds up, and didn't turn out too bad.
Yeah,
it sure would have been nice to have a little rain on top of it. But,
oh, no kidding, no kidding. What do your stands look like though? Are they fairly even?
Yeah, actually, this year we did a lot of stuff to our planter, and that seemed to really make a difference. We slowed down, and I mean, soil conditions were almost perfect as far as, you know, moisture content down low. So we were able to get into that good seed bed. And so we really, really had pretty good stands in our part of the country here. So,
okay, talk to me about these planter upgrades. Are there any things that you did that you're like, okay, that one thing made a really big difference for us?
Just attention to the detail. We kind of went to each row and treated them differently, and I was amazed to see the difference between each row. You couldn't set each row the same. That really helped us this year. We went to, you know, specifically picked our true V's and just, like I said, went from each row to each row, and that seemed to make the biggest difference, I think.
All right. Now, a lot of farmers that we talk to that are talking about, okay, I did this and that to the planter. They're focused on telling us about the corn. Did you do anything different with the soybeans? Did you try to singulate seed or anything there?
I really didn't. I'm pretty much corn on corn.
Okay.
The few beans that I had, I actually drilled them in on some 20-inch rows. So I really don't have any information on that side. So.
Okay, well, I'm really excited for you with the planter upgrades, though, because that's something that's going to make a big difference really every year going forward. And now you see paying attention to those details. If it made a big difference for you now, I'm certain that you'll be doing it again. So at the end of the season then, I'm assuming you're done planting. Do you go through the planter right away, or do you just kind of clean it up, put it away, and that'll be next winter's project?
That'll probably be next winter's project, but I think I'm going to hang some notes on it. And we had a few issues that we caught soon enough, but I could still do a little better job. So hopefully we attack those next year. I actually wish we would have had a little bit of a rain delay, so I wouldn't have planted so much. You know, we just got going and we just kept rolling and we never did slow down. And a couple of those little issues went to multiple fields.
So. Yep. Yeah, it's really hard to turn the planter off when, like you say, the soil conditions were good. And, man, after last year, we're just pretty excited to get crop in the ground. So, yep,
yeah,
I can sympathize.
Little jumpy.
You bet. Well, hey, it was good talking to you, Brian. Thanks for sharing a little bit about what you're doing with your planter. Hopefully it turns out to be your best yields ever with all the improvements you have in your stand.
I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
Thank you. Stay safe.
Yeah, bye. Thanks. Thanks. Janelle, let's jump into the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
Since we talked a little strip-till there, Lauren sent a question, and I thought it'd be a good time to address this. When you do strip-till, are you applying starter fertilizer with the planter still, or are you just putting the fertility in the strip?
So on our farm, yes, we are still putting fertilizer on with the planter. We do that on every field, whether we have broadcast, whether we've done strip till, whatever the case, we have found that putting a little bit of fertilizer with the planter pays. Now, I'm not saying we're going crazy or anything. A lot of times we're doing 2 to 4 gallons of a low salt liquid product, but we're trying to get the crop out of the ground quick and we're trying to feed it early. I'm not too worried about feeding the crop when it's big. We've got our soil loaded up either with broadcast or with strip till, so that's not the problem. It's just early in the spring. Well, like I was saying before, you know, we've been getting down to whatever, 45 degrees for a low, 60 for a high. It's not warm, and it's late May. So we're just about to summer, and we've got what many people would consider winter weather conditions, practically, minus the snow. So all I'm getting at here is when the temperatures are cold, number one, you don't have fast root growth. Number two, some of the nutrients aren't very available, especially phosphorus. So that's part of the reason why we like having at least a little bit of starter all the time.
All right, got an update from Jonathan in North Carolina. He said, Eastern North Carolina, 1/3 planted now with cotton and soybeans. What is planted is in cold, wet soil because it's been raining here since Monday and not forecast to quit until sometime Friday. We got started a couple weeks late planting because it was cold and wet. And he said, we're in need of sun and heat in North Carolina as well. Hey, Jonathan, one thing I can about guarantee you in North Carolina, the sun and the heat is coming. I just hope it comes a little sooner for you to get that crop growing. Thanks for the update. We really appreciate it. We're getting crop updates, and we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm the fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operations.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at SoilWarrior.com.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit MortonBuildings.com.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Hey, Adam. New drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree.
In the power lines! Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Avoid the V-shaped pattern of injury caused by chemical buildup in your booms. The Express End Cap from Hypro eliminates the dead ends that lead to herbicide buildup and provides easy access to your booms, giving a complete flush between applications. Hypro, helping you spray better.
How much yield did you lose the moment you planted your seed? Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG. Designed and built by a farmer tired of seeing yield loss from poor stands, the Germinator gives your crop the strong start it needs for maximum yield. Visit farmshopmfg.com.
This is one commercial for two herbicides, so we'll have to make this quick, okay? Here goes. Satellite HydroCap is great for pre-emergent control of grasses and broadleaf weeds and has a long residual life. New Satellite Flex, featuring UPL's patented transverse technology, delivers a high level of active ingredient over an extended soil coverage area. Both offer excellent mixing and handling characteristics and are valuable options for your resistant management plants. Whew. For more information on Satellite herbicides, contact your crop protection consultant or your dealer. Always read and follow label directions.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio, we're getting a crop progress update, and we would love to hear from you. You can call us here in the Morton studio at 844-44-AG-PHD or send us an email, radio@agphd.com. Let's head over to Wisconsin. We've got Dick on the line with us. Dick, how you doing?
Good. Yourself?
You know what? We can't complain here. We're happy we got our crop in. Last year, we were still planting for another month. How about you in Wisconsin?
Well, we had over the weekend, we had over 3 inches of rain, which didn't help. And we're done planting. We started on April 18th, putting oats and peas in because the hay crop is not very good.
You know, talk to us about that hay crop. What's going on there? Has it just been too wet that it's got a problem, or is there something else going on?
No, I think it's because of the wet falls. We had two wet falls and a real wet summer last year. And I think this, you know, in the winter when it froze it and it popped it out of the ground.
Okay.
The alfalfa is sticking right out of the ground.
Wow. Yep, that is not good.
No, and now we're getting rain on top of it, and we have really cold weather. The early corn is sticking out nice and green, but, you know, about 4 days, 7 days before that, we were down in 20-degree weather.
Yeah, that cold snap was kind of surprising how late it came. But, I mean, it does happen from time to time. But, unfortunately, it was a year where we were able to get a lot of stuff in early. What does the corn look like after coming out of that cold weather?
Looks very good. Nice, real dark green. It ain't real light green. It's dark, which is better.
Sure.
That some of the soybeans are just poking out now, and they're nice and green looking also. So we're, you know, that's a plus right there.
Okay, so you got 3 inches of rain. How soon will you be back in the field? And when you are, will you be spraying herbicides, or will you be working on something else?
We're planning on starting to make hay next week.
Okay. Interesting. Now,
making take the first crop off and then come back in with corn.
Okay. Oh, so you're gonna take the first crop of hay off and then burn it down and plant corn in right after it?
Yep. And with our oats and peas, we should be able to. We're planning on putting two crops of oats and peas in for our forage. Where we got dairy cattle, so
okay.
We need hay.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. All right, so we got plenty of moisture for that next corn crop following hay. That's usually the concern for us if we ever try that. If we try to get one more cutting out of the hay, we run out of moisture for that next crop, but it doesn't sound like that's going to be a problem.
No, I think we got enough moisture to get it started right now.
Wow, I would say so.
And if we only would warm up.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming. Now, I will say this. We're going to take some of the heat and sunshine first before we send it over to Wisconsin, but we'll eventually let you have some of that, Dick.
Well, that'd be good. We need a little heat.
Yeah, well, I think you need sunshine. As wet as you've been in your state now for a couple of years, Sunshine would be a good deal. Well, hey, Dick, thank you so
much. We haven't had much sun. We need the sun.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Dick, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Good luck here the rest of the spring.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good time.
Yeah, thanks. Let's head over to North Carolina. We've got Isaac on. Now, Isaac, I just got a crop report from Jonathan, and he was saying it's been wet and you need some sun and heat. Are you going to contradict that, or are you going to stick with that?
I'll take a double order of that, please.
Wow, it's been something this spring, but it's coming. It's coming. I mean, we got a jump on planting here, but I've heard you guys have had a little struggle out there.
Yeah, it's kind of contrasting this year with last year. It's kind of weather whiplash, and we had some frost damage on some corn from a week ago Monday, and then we just got done with Arthur yesterday, and the rain's still sticking around, so it's kind of. Weather's having a hard time making up its mind what season we're in.
So where are you at then in terms of planting? What's your next thing that you're going to get after when you can get back into the field?
Well, we've got to do our post sprays. You know, we're about halfway through on the corn. We have everything planted, and we'd like to get going on lay-by on our corn as soon as this weather clears up too.
Is it mainly broadleaves that are coming through, or are you seeing some grass too?
No, grass. We've got a lot of grass pressure. This cooler or 50s and damp is great grass growing weather, and it's having a heyday out there.
Okay, so talk to us about that. What are there any species of grass that are particularly troublesome for you in North Carolina?
They're all a problem. Texas Panicum is a big one. Fall Panicum is a problem, too. And we've had some trouble the last couple of years with goosegrass and glyphosate, too, particularly if you're running any of the auxin chemistry in there. So all those things, we want to get on them while they're small.
So what are you running with? What is your herbicide program that you like to use?
Typically, we're liking in the corn, Roundup and Lotus is doing a really good job for us when we can get on that grass, you know, when it's small and got good conditions.
Okay. Do you use atrazine in your rotation, or does that not work for you?
We'll use it sparingly. It's not something we rely on real heavily. Just a lot of times with the way the crop rotations go and wanting to maintain some flexibility as long as possible, holding the atrazine out helps with,
sure,
you know, a lot of those decisions.
How about on the soybean side? Are you seeing similar weed pressure there?
There, the big one for us in beans is really common ragweed. So we've got the grass pressure, but there's a couple different ways to come at it, but common ragweed is really, really a problem once it gets established.
So can you still use something like Authority First or Sonic Down? Is that having an impact on ragweed, or is that first rate not doing so well anymore?
The first rate is not as effective as it used to be. It's certainly one that, you know, we're going to keep in the arsenal, but it's not going to control it as a standalone, that's for sure.
So do you use Extend or Enlist soybeans then to give you other options, or Liberty?
Yeah, Liberty where we can. Otherwise, we're putting our Extend soybeans on those areas where we know we've got really heavy ragweed pressure to help, again, keep some more tools at our disposal.
You bet. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And certainly in the rotation, you got a couple different things that you can use. I like hearing what you're doing. I like including that Roundup in the post spray on the corn. That's really helpful yet on some of these grass species. And, you know, with the HPPD that you're using on the corn, the Laudis, you having pretty good luck with pigweed control with that yet?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we like using the HPPDs in the corn and keeping the dicamba over on the soybean side is with the brittle snap and so on, but also to come at, you know, that's not a weed that you want to start letting it get resistant to multiple modes.
Yeah.
It needs hit every way you can hit it.
You bet. Hey, Isaac, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on here. Hopefully you catch that sunlight here real soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks, guys.
Got a question in from Daniel here, and he said, I've got a small beef herd in upstate South Carolina looking for ways to be more effective with my fertility and build my soil. My pastures are a mix of fescue, Bermuda, clovers, and some Red River crabgrass, and I want to have chicken litter custom applied. Now, I haven't gotten a test on the litter. I know you guys are going to ask for that.
Yep.
And the applicator wants to put 3 tons per acre. So hopefully you do get that test, Daniel. We would really recommend that. You're right on that. He said, based on typical nutrient content, the university says we should expect about 150 pounds of N. My soils are a 6 to 7 CEC. The university also says most of that nitrogen from the chicken litter will come available the first year. So sure. It looks like I'll be able to take advantage of over 50% of it at least. 50 pounds from urea costs about the same as a ton of litter. And I'd also get P, K, micros, and organic matter right out of that litter.
Right.
So I'm wondering what you guys think. I was planning on doing 2 tons originally, but he said he thought I'd be disappointed if I only did 2, that I'd be happier putting 3 tons on my pasture.
Well, without knowing a whole lot there, we don't know what's in the litter. I think it'd be slightly irresponsible for us to just say, yep, go ahead with 3. I mean, it sounds like that's probably a good way to go.
Okay, so we got a 6 to 7 CEC,
right,
but we have an established pasture.
And we also have a lot of that nitrogen that's not going to be available today. And you caught what they said. Yep, it's going to come available in the first year. That doesn't mean it's available today. So when that grass is already growing, it's going to be needing nitrogen today. It's going to need nitrogen tomorrow and every day. So I'm not too worried about losing it. But yeah, with that nitrogen, you got to stay on top of it when you got that light soil. You might even need to supplement it for a while here.
All right. Thanks for the question, Daniel. We'll be right back with more after this.
When it comes to effective herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. They've been bringing growers trusted brands like Burnmaster, Scorch, and Spitfire for decades, made right here in the USA. What's your favorite Nufarm brand? Email it to turnuptheburn@nufarm.com and you'll be entered to win a monthly $1,000 product giveaway. In these unprecedented times, you're facing unprecedented pressure. Nufarm's here to help.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer Amaranth or Water Hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With 2 effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like Water Hemp and Palmer Amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Revitec fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
It came in waves, ruthlessly eliminating the new spectrum of hard-to-kill grassy weeds in wheat. Everest 3.0 herbicide. A new formulation makes it brutal on yellow foxtail, foxtail barley, and other tough grasses. Everest 3.0 gets the weeds you see and the ones you know are coming, with flush after flush control. Ask your retailer about Everest 3.0. Wave after wave of grassy weed domination. Always read and follow label directions.
Before it's too late and white mold becomes a problem, you need to ask your seed dealer for Heads Up seed treatment. When raising soybeans in the Midwest, you know the risk of being caught unprepared. As heard on AgPHD, there are several steps you can take prior to planting for a successful management plan against white mold. Compatible and cost-effective, season-long protection starts now by asking your seed dealer to apply Heads Up to your 2020 bean seed order. For more information, visit headsupst.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Today's show, we're getting a crop progress update, and we would love to hear from your farm. Our phone lines are open today at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us a question or a comment via email, radio@agphd.com. I got one from Harold up in British Columbia. He said, we are raising grass hay, hemp, and corn for silage in a rotation.
Okay.
And I'm looking for a fertilizer recommendation for the hemp crop, which is being raised for medical marijuana. I'm trying to do a small test plot of R&D for the company that I'm currently working for. They've got a vast experience in greenhouse environments, but when it comes to growing plants in the soil, their knowledge is lacking. This field in the soil test here is heavy soil, sub-irrigated. Tiling is definitely needed. However, it's taken a lot of convincing to try and get this done. Irrigation will not be provided in this test plot. I was hoping that a granular recommendation could be provided to be incorporated before transplanting the plants.
Okay, so let's put it this way. I know nothing about growing hemp, but I do know about having a good, healthy soil. Drainage, yes, is super important. Here's part of the reason why. Your sodium levels are high, 1.6 to 3.7% sodium. Quite frankly, at 3.7% sodium, you're starting to kill your soil. If you don't get that drained properly soon, eventually you're going to end up with dead soil. So that is obviously not what we're looking for. When I take a look at soil pH, it's not terrible, 7.2 to 7.7, but you get your sodium issue fixed, and then you're going to solve a lot of your problem. Now, the magnesium is also kind of high, which is part of the reason why you're having some drainage issue out there. And so certainly over time, I'm not saying even today necessarily, but over time, we'd probably want to see you put on a little more gypsum. You've got calcium levels in the range of 57 to 62%. So no big rush, but I might consider throwing a little bit of gypsum out there. And I would certainly consider, once you get the drainage issue taken care of, putting on some elemental sulfur. It looks like your sulfur levels are 12 to 18 parts per million. So we would consider both of those or all of those very low. And so anyway, yeah, you're going to need more sulfur at some point. Okay, the other things that I see that stand out to me right away, potassium way too low, 1.2% on one, 1.6% on another. There is one that's good. It's 4.9%. But I'm going to assume, just knowing the very little that I do about hemp, that it's going to react better to high levels of K. Personally, if it was me, I'd try to be in the 5, 6, 7% kind of range for base saturation K, which means that even though you're going to look at that test and you're going to go, well, it says in the test I'm very high on potassium, you're only at 4.9%. You're not very high. So make sure you're putting out an adequate amount of potassium. Now, with the medical marijuana, again, I know nothing about this, but I will just say this. If you are considering having something out there that is a perennial crop, you want to get as much of the non-mobile nutrients into the soil right off the bat. So, for example, we would talk about phosphorus, potassium, and zinc. Well, if I look at your phosphorus levels, they are very low. If I look at your potassium levels, two of the three samples here are really, really, really low. And then on the zinc, there is not enough zinc out there to match up with what I would consider a good level of phosphorus. We're usually looking for 10 to 1 kind of ratio. It's not terrible. All right, so I see one here that says 3, and I don't know why I'm missing it on the other two tests, so I don't even know what you have. So I would just say that, first of all. I'd like to see a complete test on every single spot, but make sure you're getting a little zinc out there along with a lot of phosphorus and potassium to build your soil up for the long term, because you can't just go out and spread a little bit on every year and think that, oh, I'm going to get that down into the ground to where my roots are going to suck that up. So if it's me personally, I'm going to put on several hundred pounds of actual K. I'm going to try to get my phosphorus levels up again, because it's a long-term crop and you have heavy soil. I'm probably going to try to get my phosphorus levels up to at least 100 parts per million, at least. Then that means that I'd probably like to see my zinc level at least at 5, 8, and preferably 10 parts per million. So you need a lot of stuff if you're going to put a perennial crop out there, is what I'm trying to tell you. In terms of anything else, you know, boron is low. I don't know what you need for nitrogen in these different crops you're going to raise, but obviously boron, nitrogen, sulfur can be added every single year. Those are leachable nutrients. They'll move and work their way down into the soil. So I think that's about all I got. I'm going to take a look at this. I mean, for the most part, some of the other things are not terrible, but those are the big things that have got to get fixed.
All right. Thanks for the question, Harold. We really appreciate that. I got one from Trevor here. He said you were talking about base saturation, calcium and magnesium and porosity in the soil.
Yep.
I wish sand wasn't so expensive, because increasing porosity in silty soil where I've got 85% silt and 15% sand would be easy if we could just add 40% sand to the mix. But if you're just planting a backyard garden or tree, I would recommend mixing some sand in the hole until you get the loamy soil as indicated by the soil triangle and a soil particle size test.
Well, that's one way to do it. But you start getting very much sand in there at all, and all of a sudden your cation exchange capacity is too low, and now you can't hold an appropriate amount of water.
And I think what's interesting, too, is when we're talking about calcium and magnesium, we're talking about essential nutrients for those crops. And when we get them in balance, we can get them in. Like, for example, if you've got way too much calcium out there sometimes, or way too much magnesium, you can't get those nutrients into the plant. And it's really strange when we see soils with, like our soils, for example, we've got some excess magnesium areas on our farm. And in those areas, our plant tissue tests a lot of times will show we're low in magnesium in the plant. So it's really strange. So yeah, I think the nutrient balance is a big deal. Although Trevor, it would be kind of fun to mix a little sand in with some of our heavy ground too and see what kind of a difference that could make. Really appreciate the comment.
Hey Darren, do you want to get to that weed question? Let's see, what was it? Butterweed?
Okay. Yep, we got a couple of them over here. Well, you're coming fresh off of medical marijuana, and you want to go right into a weed question. I got you, Brian. All right, this one comes from Bill, and Bill is in Ohio. He said, I've got this weed I can't find in my weed book, and I need somebody to tell me what it is. I had corn stalks last fall that I sprayed with Valor, XLT, and Dicamba, and the field was clean this spring except for this one weed. Now, I found that 240 will kill it, but it does mean another trip across the field.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like a mustard species, and I've included some pictures here too for you.
Yeah. So we believe that is butterweed, which is also known as cressleaf ground cell. So I'm not 100% sure, but based on the picture, we believe that's what it is. So the thing about that weed, actually, there have been studies showing that Valor does a decent job when it is put out there in the fall. So I'm wondering if the rate wasn't strong enough. I tell you the same thing with the dicamba that you threw out there. So oftentimes we can totally eliminate some of these weeds when we use very strong rates in the fall. So that could have been it. I would also assume that Roundup is probably going to do it. There have been some studies, and I'm just looking at some stuff online here, just some studies that were done where glyphosate worked, 2,4-D worked. Now, I will say this. When you start combining 2,4-D or dicamba together with glyphosate, that actually can cause problems, and here's why. If you don't have a strong enough rate of the 2,4-D or dicamba to fully kill the weed, all you've done is you've stopped the weed from growing, and you've stopped the glyphosate from moving to the growing point to finish off the weed. So I'm not a real big fan of combining glyphosate, and 2,4-D in all cases. In some cases, it works okay. But you got to be a little bit careful with what you're doing with the rate and in terms of what are we really after out there. So whenever we start talking about any perennial weeds, then I really like seeing Roundup all by itself at high rates. Now, this crestleaf groundsel or butterweed is just a winter annual weed. So generally speaking, if we hit it hard enough in the fall, it's done.
All right. Thanks for the question. We really appreciate that. Also, kudos to you for doing some fall spraying. That's getting to be more popular, and especially in reduced till situations, it's been working quite well. Thanks, Bill. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're getting a crop progress update, and we'd love to hear from you at 844-44-AG-PHD.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
We planted early February and have all good emergence. So far, we can't find any condition that the wheels haven't worked. I can just say that.
Closing the seed trench behind the planter is essential to establishing yields in the fall. Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG. Designed and built by a farmer who is tired of seeing poor stands because of uneven emergence, the Germinator is here to give your crop the strong start it needs for maximum yield. For more information, visit us at farmshopmfg.com.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic herbicides from Atticus LLC. Tough broadleaf weeds are a hassle, but they're no match for Cavallo from Atticus. Cavallo delivers fast, contact, and residual control so your corn, soybean, and sorghum crops can thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit AticusLLC.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
Imagine the perfect flow of grain from the field to the bin. Imagine a single rotor that ensures both quality and productivity. An advanced system that optimizes harvest settings on the go. You don't have to imagine. With features like AFS Harvest Command, an axial flow combine from Case IH always delivers the perfect flow for your operation. Find out how. Talk to your Case IH dealer today.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
You're all set with the 4x4 turbo diesel truck. How about some options? Spray and bed liner?
Absolutely.
Tailgate step and Nerf bars?
Gotta have them.
Tie down hooks and stainless steel toolbox?
You know it.
Tinted windows?
Of course.
Options are good. That's as true in the field as it is with your pickup. In addition to taking care of tough weeds, new Open Sky herbicide gives you more rotational choices than ever before and an easy-to-handle formulation.
Gooseneck tow package?
Yep.
Discover more Open Sky details at openskyherbicide.com.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, getting a crop progress update and taking your calls and agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. And you can also email us, radio@agphd.com. Got JD on with us right now in Delaware. How's it going, JD?
Oh, not bad. Hi. We was planning on getting rain every day this week. That's what they were calling for, and we didn't get no rain as of yet.
Wow, well, hopefully we can luck out like that the next few days. We got rain in the forecast here we'd love to miss.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like the weather forecasters are doing just as good a job out there as they are here. They told us it was going to be warm and windy and 80-something degrees every day this week, and it's been like 60 and drizzly all week.
Yeah. Well, they still get paid. That's the only bad part about it. They still get a paycheck.
All right. So we hear you have a question about Buttercup.
Well, we don't know the actual weed name, but we call them yellow buttercups.
Okay.
And the horses won't eat them. And, you know, for pasture and the pasture for, you know, cattle. And we didn't know what can you do to eliminate them rascals.
Well, what have you been using for herbicide out there right now?
We really haven't done anything. We tried Roundup a little bit, but it would kill the grass, you know, and then you won't have nothing anyway.
Sure. All right. Here would be my two suggestions. One, you could go out there with 2,4-D if you would like to. Two would be the product Distinct. That's the same thing as Status that we use in corn. I like Distinct the best. That's going to probably run $9, $10 an acre. 2,4-D, you know, it all depends on what rate you want to use. I'd go with a pretty strong rate. I'd be using like LV6 at least a quart, if not a quart and a half, and you should be able to take out a buttercup. Now, if it's not buttercup, then I don't know exactly what you've got, but we can assume here that it's a broadleaf weed, and the odds are pretty high that between 2,4-D or Distinct, one of the two, or both, is going to take that thing out. So, yeah, if it was me, I'd probably go with Distinct. Okay. If you want to, you can certainly run 2,4-D, but either one of those things I would assume would work.
Yeah, because it's got to some point where a lot of the farmers around here, you know, for cattle feeding and pasture,
yep,
and for horses, it has overrun the pastures, and it's unbearable. You know, there's hardly no grass hay in there.
You don't have to explain it to me, JD. We're the weed of the week guys, so we are we're all for having every weed die. So we want to do everything we can to raise great grass. I don't care if, you know, a lot of people don't consider pasture a crop, and I do. If you have more grass out there, you have more livestock production, you make more money, and yeah, weeds just destroy that. So I would assume you'll get control out of either 2,4-D or Distinct. If you try one of those two things and it doesn't work, my guess is you maybe could have used a higher rate, so just start right away with the high rate, and then if you have any issues, call us back, and you could also send us some pictures, and we can hopefully properly identify this. If it isn't buttercup, maybe it is, and if so, you got no issues.
Okay. What have you all had them in your states up in South Dakota, or no? I mean, have you had that kind of weed up that way, or no?
Do we have buttercup in South Dakota?
I don't know if we do over here.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I guess I've never been asked about it, and I can't say that we've ever had to try to control that.
I've never seen it. I've been all the way from Sioux Falls all the way clean a rapid, you know, and I've never seen that there. But I just didn't know if, you know, getting off the beaten path, Interstate I-90, would they have it around them, you know, farmers around there. But I've never seen it.
Particular species. I guess we've got some burr buttercup, but that's a little different thing.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for the call, JD.
We've got John on with us right now in Maryland. John, how you doing?
How you doing today?
We're doing well. We're doing well. What can we do for you?
About a month and a half ago, I asked you about sulfur later in corn, and Brian said, you know, you have to look at your overall program, and I completely understand where he's coming from. But I had a couple more questions about sulfur in corn, and I was wondering about, is there more of a risk for foliar burn with dry sulfur versus just urea?
What kind of dry sulfur would you be throwing over the top of corn? Like ammonium sulfate?
Ammonium sulfate.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, the AMS has more nitrogen in it.
Yes. Okay, so let's put it this way. I am not a fan of putting any dry fertilizer over the top of corn. I know there are guys that throw urea out. There are a few guys that will throw ammonium sulfate out. Our guys on our farm asked me last year, let's throw ammonium sulfate over the top. We think that'd be a great idea. And I vetoed that. I said, no way. I'm too worried about leaf burn. Now, I will say this. Your leaf burn is going to be worse when the plants are damp. So if you were going to spread any dry fertilizer over the top of a standing crop, you always want to do it when the crop leaves are totally dry. And I mean totally dry. That way there's a better chance they're just going to roll off off and it's no big deal. But if they stick on there, that's where you have more issue. And so, if you're asking me, is it okay to put ammonium sulfate over the top? I would not recommend that. You can do it. There are some guys who have done it, I know, but I wouldn't do it on my farm.
Is it riskier than urea? Does the sulfur have more of an incidence of burn than the urea does?
I don't know. I mean, it's all rate dependent, basically.
Okay. So, I'm just asking if there's more of a chance for the sulfur to burn, because I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know if sulfur more of an incidence of burn.
Yes, sulfur burns. The urea can burn as well. So they're both going to burn. I don't honestly know which one is worse because we don't typically do this.
Okay.
But I'll just tell you, I don't like either one of them. So I would try to avoid that if it was me.
Okay. And what about dry boron in the mix? Would boron increase burn?
Yes. Yep. No question about that.
So dry boron will burn. Okay. And sorry, I have a list of questions I wanted to get through. I'm sorry, about this.
No, go ahead.
And growth stage for availability. Does the ammonium sulfate, would that become available later than urea? Would urea be available faster?
Yes.
So maybe I should do that at V5 versus V7, something like that. What growth stage would you recommend top dressing with sulfur?
Well, here again, I heard the very first thing you said, it all depends on what your total program is. What we always say to people is this: during every day of that plant's life, it's got to have ample nutrients. So it all depends on how fast it's really growing and how much is it going to bring in that day. So it's just like kids. I mean, if they all of a sudden hit a growth spurt, they're at the refrigerator every 2 hours. Well, if all of a sudden next week out your way, you've got plenty of moisture and it turns 85 degrees, that corn's going to take off. So you better be ahead of it just a little bit. Now, if you're getting weather like we are, where it's 60 degrees, then there's no big rush. So, in terms of what stage, that's really dependent. But I would just tell you, if I've got heavy soil, I'm going to be on the earlier side. If I've got light soil, then I got to be careful because I don't want to let that leach out. And if I've already got a whole bunch of sulfur out there, there's no point in adding more in a light soil. But in a heavy soil, I'm willing to risk it. So how heavy is your soil?
7.
Okay, so not very heavy. So that's where nitrogen, sulfur, boron, you're probably going to need to be adding some as you go. But is this irrigated?
No.
Okay, not irrigated. Now I understand where your questions are coming from. I'll say this too. When you have that light of a soil, you're really dependent on Mother Nature. And if you get a dry year, you might just say, you know what, I'm not going to get that great a yield, so I'm going to ease back. But I will just tell you, like on our farm, we aren't using any dry once the season gets here. Now, if you could, drop it in between the rows, that would be one thing. But when we're in crop, then we're running liquid. So we'll run liquid nitrogen, we'll run some sulfur product, ammonium thiosulfate or whatever. In terms of boron, we can throw a little bit of liquid boron out there. You can do a little bit foliar. Otherwise, you can certainly put that on the ground as well.
Right. Okay. All right.
Okay.
And the ammonium thiosulfate, I guess if I'm dropping that down the row, that's going to be available faster than the AMS?
No, be similar. Be similar.
Okay.
So, it might be slightly faster, but I mean, it's going to be similar. Ammonium sulfate, the nitrogen there is going to come available a little bit slower than like urea.
Okay.
But in terms of the sulfur component, they're both sulfates, and sulfates are pretty much ready to go right now. So as soon as you get them in that liquid form, you should be in good shape. Well, hey, John, we got to run, but thanks a lot for the phone call. Really appreciate it. Best of luck to you out there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun getting the nutrients out there in crop, and definitely takes a little experimentation sometimes too with all the different forms that are available. So appreciate those questions. Thanks to everybody who called or wrote in with a crop update. Really appreciate that. And thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.